What's up, guys? Welcome back. Another episode of Push Through. And I told you we'd have an episode every single week. And I told you that if JJ couldn't make it, I would do it by myself. JJ's brother had a baby. Great news. JJ flew back to Missouri to surprise his brother because he's an uncle. That's a big deal. So we had two options. I thought we had two options, but we really have three options. Option one, don't put out another podcast episode and then Brad's a big fat liar, liar pants on fire. Two, Brad does the podcast all by himself and realizes that he can't talk to himself for an hour straight. Or option three, Brad brings in wife Tara to join him as the replacement co-host for JJ this week.
Surprise!
That was aggressively loud.
Oh, sorry. I thought that's what you were looking for. You told me to yell and use my teacher voice at its full capacity. So here I am.
Okay, that's... Now I'm going to have to edit the podcast.
Well, you're welcome. That's what you asked for.
Yes, I did. And so you're going to have to let us know if at the end of the episode, if in the future, just what would be a better option?
Me bursting your eardrums or Brad solo?
Or Brad not at all and just skip a fucking week. So it fits a little bit because one of the things that JJ and I were going to talk about is what was really going on last weekend. And I told you one of the big things that was going on was Tara doing her first 50K. So I figured, not even so much the female perspective, but admittedly so, you're not really like hooked on running. Like, you don't have the bug per se. Like, JJ and I are like fanboys who are running. You're kind of just like...
still not living on social media, running when I can.
Yes. So as a little bit of context, you're an athlete. You've been an athlete. You played lacrosse in college.
Correct.
And then out of college, you more were into CrossFit than like I was doing triathlons and stuff and you were like, I'm good. You just want to lift barbells. So why barbells? Why CrossFit before like right out of college?
I liked the strength aspect and I liked just the slower pace. I think college sports was just a lot and it was a lot of running and my body kind of needed a break and a different kind of stimulus. And I got that from CrossFit. So I just enjoyed the strength, the community. I think actually the team aspect of CrossFit was huge for me. Like when I stopped playing college sports, I felt really lost for a long time. Like I didn't really have an identity anymore. Like my identity for really my entire life was some kind of athlete. Like I was on competition gymnastics when I was under 10 until well into middle school. And then I just started playing other sports. So I always just identified as a teammate, an athlete. And when I graduated college, I was lost. And CrossFit definitely like gave me that identity back a little.
And I mean, obviously I was CrossFitting too. You know, we owned a CrossFit.
Yes.
And, but I think, I don't even know when, you might even know better than me because we would run local 5Ks and 10Ks and you could always just do that with fitness. You never really needed to quote train for anything. Right, like anything under 10K, you always like maintain fitness out of college enough to just run a 5K and a 10K.
Definitely. I could always run a casual 5K.
Did we run, we ran a half marathon. We went to Austin.
We did a few half marathons. We did two of the Disney ones.
Oh, right. We did Wine and Dine.
Because we did both of them, I think, with JP and Jordana. And one of those was my first half marathon.
Okay, so we did Wine and Dines.
So we did those. We did the Long Island half with Shan. Right. That was a really good time. That was my PR half.
But I feel like it feels like forever ago.
Well, I mean, all of those were either pre-marriage.
Yeah.
Or like just when we got married. Like all of those had to have been 2015 or earlier. Like we're coming up on 10 years of marriage almost. And all of those halves were, I really think, before we got married. So we haven't done, or I haven't done anything endurance-wise since 2014, literally.
Then you made a jump to the marathon.
Well, okay, there's a lot that happened in there. So 2014, we got married and I was training for regionals for CrossFit. And that was a really big to do because we, you know, paid a coach. We invested a lot of time and effort into that. I was training 3 hours a day for 5 or 6 days a week. It was a lot. And after I stopped doing that, I CrossFitted a little bit, but then we got pregnant. Well, yeah, we got pregnant, I guess, 2017. And Avery came early 2018. And I was just so worried about losing fitness once I had Avery that I signed up for the New York City Marathon before I had her. So I did the New York City Marathon when Avery was 10 months old. So that was a terrible training block and I hated every second of it.
Well, we'll get to that. Hold on. But we skipped something too.
What?
You were signed up to do a half Ironman triathlon.
I was.
Right? That what would that have been? That would have been...
That was supposed to be September 2017.
17.
Yeah.
So we signed up for that before you had gotten pregnant.
Yes.
And then you couldn't do that. I did that race.
Yeah, we got pregnant quicker than we thought we would.
So I talked you into doing a half Ironman before I talked you into doing a marathon?
Yes. Whoa. Because I liked the idea of multiple
sports.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked the idea of a break from a run. I was like, all right, I know I can handle a half marathon. I've done those before. So let's add in some other sports on top of that as opposed to run for 4 hours.
Right.
That was like really daunting for me.
But as you just mentioned, you signed up for the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, so I signed up for the New York City Marathon and trained for that with a newborn, and that was just really stressful and not enjoyable.
This is actually, because anybody that's been listening to podcasts has heard me say this, and maybe you can confirm. We both did that race together.
Yes.
I tell everybody that I've never trained for anything.
Yeah, you didn't train for that at all.
Like...
I was in panic mode. Trying to train with a newborn and nursing a newborn 24/7. And he just showed up to the start and kicked it for like, 5 hours.
You did the whole, because as an athlete and someone that's been coached, you're very coachable.
Yeah. And you then, tell me to jump and I say how high,
right.
Like I'll just do it.
Like if put a training plan in front of you, it's almost a little bit of a detriment to you because
I take it very seriously.
And if anything goes wrong or if plans change, you get very flustered.
Yes.
Like, I'm very good at being like, eh, we're busy today. I'll skip my run.
Not me.
Yeah. No,
I'll lose sleep over skipping that run.
Yeah, you couldn't do that. So during that training block, you were going out for long runs, 15, 16 miles. I don't, what do you think my longest, just so they don't think I'm exaggerating, what do you think my longest run leading up into that marathon was? 5K?
I was going to say 3 miles.
5K.
I was actually going to say 3 miles. I really think that was it.
And that's been kind of like the mind-blowing revelation of this past year for me, is I've actually started training for stuff. And like, not to downplay Ironman, we had this conversation, like, I did those Ironmans with no training, and I ran 10 marathons. Like, for anybody that wants to try it, you can complete the distance. I think training definitely helps you go a little faster, obviously, but it definitely beats your body up. Because, I mean, after the marathon, you were good. And you were 10 months postpartum.
No, I was beat up after that race.
I was beat. I couldn't even operate.
I was so beat up after that race.
And you said never again.
I said I would never run a marathon again unless it was a world major. Like unless it was Chicago or Boston or London. Like I was not ever going to do a marathon again.
But you were active. You weren't actively seeking a marathon. Like you were kind of waiting for me to be like, hey, I'm going to do Chicago. You want to get down?
Correct.
Yeah. And I never did that.
I never would have sought one out myself. I would have been a follower.
When I, because same for me, like after what you, so that was in 2018,
we did that.
2018. So that was after I did Boulder.
Oh, well after.
Yeah, because I thought.
Boulder was 15 or 16.
I thought after I did Ironman Boulder, I was never going to do anything endurance again. But then it was the New York City Marathon and I wanted to do it because it was your first one. And I was like, holy shit, I talked her into doing something. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
So then you were like, no more. And then we got pregnant right away again with Brody.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. Like it was a lot. So I graduated college, picked up CrossFit, did CrossFit like pretty competitively from 2012 through 2015, 16. got pregnant with Avery in 17, had her in 18, raced New York City Marathon in 18. And then, you know, we had a lot going on the end of 2018 with moving and your dad and everything. Like, that was a really hard time for us.
Right.
And in the midst of all that, we found out that I was pregnant again. And then 3 months later, COVID came. So, like, I don't think you, like, not that I don't think you realize, but when I look back on that time and, like, how overwhelmed I felt, I'm like, wow, like, no wonder I was so overwhelmed. Like, my father-in-law had passed away. Like, we moved. We had a newborn. I was pregnant again. Like, it was...
We started a debt-free journey and...
We stopped buying things. So, like, we were home.
We stopped,
like,
going on vacation.
We didn't go on vacation. I wasn't buying Starbucks anymore. Like...
because
it was just a lot. Yeah, it was really overwhelming.
And people need to also know you're 8 years younger than me, 7 years younger than
seven.
Me? Seven.
Seven and change.
Yeah. I'm 82 and you're 89, right?
Yeah.
I'm beginning of 82 and you're the end of 89.
Correct.
So that was another thing too. Like, yeah, by the, when I'm doing this, we're talking, I'm in my mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
And you're in your mid 20s.
I was just turning 30. So like when Brody was born, I turned 30 3 months later.
Okay. But like for the marathon and like.
Yeah, for the marathon, I was 28.
Like we were all getting married and shit like that. And all your friends were still raging in Long Beach.
Yes.
And then here you were like, sorry guys, I have to eat my macros and go PR my back squat.
I weighed a lot of my food. Yeah.
You still do.
Yeah, I do. Habit now.
So then after COVID and all that, like, and these are things that just happen. I'm so spontaneous that sometimes I even forget like the process, which is kind of good, I guess. So I guess it was like I started the mile streak probably because of the podcast.
Well, before you did the mile streak, I started street parking.
Okay, which is,
and so like when we were home with COVID and two kids under two, I just felt like I needed to find some consistency again because things had just gotten super sporadic. And I was always the queen of 5 to 6 days a week without question of exercise. Like I just always did that. And when I was pregnant and we had the kids and everything, like that kind of fell to the wayside. So a lot of that first year was just finding consistency, and I found that in street parking. So I was able to be like, all right, I'm going to do street parking 3 days a week.
Can you say what street parking is?
Oh, okay. So
simple version.
Yeah. There's a pretty famous CrossFitter who started having kids, and her husband created kind of like an online CrossFit affiliate, essentially. That's not under the CrossFit name, but programs, short and sweet workouts aimed at busy people, whether they're parents or not parents or whatever they may be. And they have lots of options, lots of scales, videos for every workout, like, and a community, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine.
It was like being a part of a CrossFit gym, but virtually before COVID.
Yeah. They had that set up before COVID. So then going into COVID, I think they exploded even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just fantastic for me. It like really gave me a reason to be more consistent. And like when I first started that again, like I could only do the street parking workout every day and that was it. And then I slowly worked up to being like, okay, I'm going to do the street parking workout, but I'm going to run a half mile before it. And then I'm going to do a street parking workout, but I'm going to run a mile before it. And like now I could probably run 6 to 8 miles and then do a street parking workout and like be good to go. Like I've really, really built up over the last 4 years.
Yeah, but like, yeah, so you were running, but like a little bit, like you still...
I was running in the wad, like yeah, under a mile or two.
You were still very much so like, I'm never going to run a marathon again.
Oh, no, I definitely was not going to run a marathon again.
So when I started the mile streak, which is now, so we're in what? We're in 23. We're the end of 23. And so that must have been June of 22, I started the mile streak.
Yes.
So June of 22, I started the mile streak just as like a goof, just kind of to beat JJ. because we were talking about so much of the podcast. And that was right into Colorado. So like, I did the mile streak right into it. It was when I drove out to Colorado. We were in Colorado and like had, I guess I was just planning on doing a mile every single day. And I,
yeah, like I think you didn't do it with the goal of making it into some kind of long distance endurance thing. You just did it because you were sick of feeling unhealthy and you wanted to get off the couch and do something. So that's what you chose to do. But in the back of your brain, you had always dropped breadcrumbs of being interested in ultra running. Like for the longest time, you have been dropping those breadcrumbs. And whether you were doing it intentionally or not, I knew that that was something in the back of your head.
Right.
Going into the mile streak.
But it's still...
It wasn't the why, but it was definitely a shadow.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I wanted to do... I always thought I wanted to do it, but it still seemed very, very unattainable.
Yes.
And I was pretty much at 7 to 10 miles a week. And there's been so many awesome listeners who have like, who are running. And it's kind of like, I'm glad you can give this perspective because sometimes when you or just see it or like, cause if you were to hop on my Strava now, you'd be like, holy shit. You know, the guy's running 50, 60, 70 miles a week. But you know, the people that I've been around know 2 years, like when I was doing the mile streak and I was running 11 minutes per mile and dying and running 7 miles per week. And I got through that whole summer and I think it was like September. I was like, wow, like, man, I can maybe run and maybe pick up some miles. And I don't even know. I think I found Tesla Hertz. I was just like looking for like Long Island fall races that were different. And we saw Tesla Hertz and it was a trail run. And I was like, I think I'm going to try and like maybe do a trail run, like try and be one of those weirdos. Because I had always heard that like when you do trail stuff, you don't have to go fast. Like there was no pressure of me going fast. I was like,
and at that point for me, I was up to like a casual weekend, like 4 or 5 miler.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I could get behind 10 miles. Like, I don't think that's too much of a jump. Like it's not 13, like 10 is manageable. I can work up to that. And I think I had done like maybe a 7 or 8 leading up to it, knowing that like, all right, I'll survive a 10.
Yeah. And we knew. We were such noobs.
Oh my gosh. We were talking this weekend about it. Like we, so bad. I think I carried my orange Zwift water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Road
shoes.
Definitely had road shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
I was covered in ticks by the end because I like just didn't have appropriate things on.
And just the trail runners, they're a weird breed. And it wasn't as like structured as a 5K. Like we walked up and we're like, do you see a start line? Like who's in charge? There's people everywhere. There was no like, come pick up your bib over here.
It's just much more laid back than a road race.
Anybody like you should go on Ultra Sign Up because even Ultra Sign Up, they have like all the trail runs and stuff. And what's the other one? Like I Run Far, that's a blog, but Run Sign Up. They have like, they list a lot of local races.
They have local races, but they have a lot of road races. Like they're not just going to be trail races like Ultra Sign Up is.
Like a 10 mile trail is very different. Like I'd feel like people have more fun in a 10 mile trail than a local 5K. Even though the distance is like triple.
Heck yeah.
Like, we had no idea what to expect.
We had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what to expect. Like I just went out and followed the person in front of me. I'm like, she looks relatively fit. Like, let's just see if I can keep up with her for as long as I can. And her and I just ended up chatting for like probably 4 miles. And I was like, this is great. You're telling me I get to race at conversation pace? Sign me up. This is lovely. Yeah. So me and this stranger just chatted it up. I talked to her about her kids, her camping trip, her RV. This was just a training run for her. It wasn't really a race. Da, da, da. We're just like having a grand old time. And then we get to the aid station at like, what is that? Five or 6 miles.
Yeah.
She's like, I just have to go to the bathroom quick. I was like, ooh, well, it was nice talking to you. I'm not going to wait. I'll see you later. Have a great day. And I just kept running. And then I was like, all right, I'm not chatting anymore. I guess I'll race. So then I like started running faster and I ended up like by far negative splitting the race. But I had a great time.
Didn't you finish like 3rd overall?
Maybe.
Top 5. At least top 5.
At least top 5 for girls. Yeah.
Nice.
There wasn't that many of us, but.
But we were like, we had a good, like, I think we were just like, wow, that was.
It was just very low pressure.
Yeah.
It was fun. Like, you're just engaged the whole time. It's just so different than running on the roads.
One thing my brother Danny said the other day, because we just did that same race again.
Which, oh, yeah. Okay. We'll, so it'll bring it back.
No, we'll talk about that. Like, but like one of Danny's buddies got lost, and Dan was like, that's another thing I love about trail is like your brain has to be on at all times. You are constantly looking for routes. Where am I going to put my foot? Because there's no roads. It's not like take a right hand turn here. Sometimes you're just running through the woods and very easy to get lost. You're looking for ribbons all the time. And everyone's like, you don't run with music. And I'm like, I can't be distracted by music. Like I need to be on 100% of the time. And it's like the miles go by so fast in the trail.
So fast.
And we had a good time and we're like, maybe we should try and do more. We didn't say let's go up in distance.
No, we said let's just do more trail runs.
Let's try and get into more trail runs. And then,
all right, so after that, you signed up for something and I didn't sign up for anything yet. Was that when you signed up for Grindstone right away? Are you a liar? Did you sign up for a long distance thing?
No, because
what'd you sign up for? You signed up for something.
Maybe it might have been Red Wing.
Nah, man, that was later. I really think that you signed up for Grindstone.
No, because I didn't sign up for Grindstone until January. Oh, I signed up for Shore to Shore.
Oh, yep. That's what it was.
My first 50K.
Which is longer.
It was my first 50K. Yeah, so.
You are a liar, pants on fire.
Well, that's me. Like, I was like, oh, I ran 10 miles. Let's go for my first 50K. Fuck it. You know, and I think you were like, nah. And,
yeah, I was the one that was like, slow your roll. I think I'm going to stay in the teens range for a bit.
And I actually I kept the mile streak going through October,
yeah,
through November, through December. And I think it was in December where now I'm like 8 months in, I've probably lost like 15, 20 pounds.
You were signed up for Shore to Shore and you're like, what are you going to sign up for? What are you going to sign up for? What are you going to sign up for? I was like, well, I've been eyeing this race. Like, I don't know.
And I was like, what?
You've been eyeing a race? So it is or was a half marathon in the Hudson Valley in New York.
There's a video on YouTube about it.
There is. Okay, half marathon with 4,000 feet of climbing.
Right.
It was a lot. But all right, I had my eye on it because it was a half marathon. It was a good time of year. It was in March. It was an hour and a half or two from our house. It fit a lot of my boxes and I had no idea about elevation yet. So I was like, oh, like 4,000, like it sounds like a lot, but like I have squat legs, like I'll be good. Like I'm not really worried about it. So on January 1st, it was kind of like my New Year's resolution. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be brave and sign up for this race. Cause I was just really scared about it, honestly. Like I kept telling Brad, I'm not worried about the distance, but the fact that it's on trails and that it has elevation I've never heard of, like that could be weird. So we signed up for that. And then with that came a bunch of race previews. So that race was supposed to be in May. And one of the race previews we picked to go to was in March. And again, I'm like, listen, I'm fine with the distance. Like, let's just go up and do the whole course just so I have an idea of what to expect. And then I can adjust my training plan over the next 2 months going into that.
Well, because I think another thing that was freaking you out was that you'd run marathons, you'd run half marathons, and you know what your time was going to be. Like,
oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about this.
You are a 150 to 2 hour half marathoner.
Yes.
And you were seeing the winning times were like 4.5, 5 hours. And you were
they were like 2:30. So I'm like, 2:30 for the winning halftime? Like, what are they doing that is taking them 2 hours and 30 minutes? Like, that sounds terrible.
Mid-pack was like 4 or 5 hours. Like, and you kept saying to me, like, Brad, it's going to take me like 5 hours. And I'm like, the fuck it is. Like, it's going to take you 5 hours. And then that was another reason why we wanted to go up, because I needed to see for myself
why it was taking people so long.
Yeah, like what was the deal here?
Like, just didn't make any sense. Like, coming from a road background, you just cannot. And not only are we coming from a road background, we live on the flattest island around. Like, there are no mountains. There are no hills. Like, there's just nothing that's comparable to something like that. So it was just very out of our realm of reality.
Our big climb, our big trail climb is in Sunken Meadow Park. And it's a quarter mile and it goes up 150 feet.
Yeah, like, come on. It's nothing.
Like, if I'm going to do hill repeats, that's my hill repeat. I got to do that 10 times to get to 1,000 feet. And we see people on Strava that, like, go around the block and they get 1,500 feet.
It's ridiculous. So we went up and we did the race preview. And now this is a month out or so from Brad's first 50K. So this is just going to be like a great training day for him. Like, it's in the trails, it's 13 miles, he's going to get a little more elevation, it's going to be fantastic. It was not fantastic. It was not fantastic.
You had, so I had a grand old day. Like,
I was still in road shoes. Why was I still in road shoes?
Because we didn't know. Oh yeah, it had just snow. We had a lot of snow, or it was raining.
The snow was melting, and it had rained, so it was really muddy.
It was muddy, and like it was just tech. It was like all the because right now. So now at this time, mile streak 283. I'm like full into ultras. I've watched every YouTube video. I'm full into trail running.
Lost a ton of weight. Like, you're just ready to rock.
Yeah, ready to go. At this point, I. Gone sober, so I was sober 3 months. Like, this was all
like
the
superhero.
This was all the adventure I'd ever wanted. And the whole day, I'm like talking with the people we were with, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I mean, you're my wife. I knew that you were just like you were not a happy camper.
I had a smile on my face the whole time because I'm very good at faking it and, you know, smiling through pain. But I was miserable, and more so I was frustrated because I felt like I could run faster, but there were just rocks in my way.
Yeah.
So I was just like,
you couldn't show up, like, because you were
like, I have so much fitness, but these rocks keep tripping me.
And people were like flying around, and you, like, yeah, you were like in the back of the pack, and you couldn't show off your fitness.
I was so frustrated
because there was so much skill with like how technical it was that you were just like, you knew that everyone like that didn't know us was like, oh, this poor girl in the back. This poor girl.
Yeah, like that one lady that kept being like, you really need to get some trail shoes.
This poor girl. And meanwhile, you're like, bitch, I could squat 500 pounds.
I've won 3 national championships. I swear I'm not a schmuck.
Yeah, exactly. And then I sprained my ankle in the last quarter mile.
Oh, you just casually added that in. I thought we were building up to that.
No. So it was like, I was the happy one all day and you were miserable.
Oh, I was so upset.
And then we finished and you were so proud of yourself and happy. And I cried the whole way home.
The whole way. I felt so bad. I'm like, I dragged this poor man all the way up here to do this half marathon preview course when he has to run 30 something miles in less than a month. And he just broke his ankle. It's all my fault. I'm the worst wife ever. Like, I felt so bad.
That's when the mile streak ended.
RIP mile streak.
RIP mile streak, which has turned out to be the best thing ever.
Also true.
I'm so glad that, not, I know plenty of people that are mile streaking. I'm friends with people that are mile streaking. But like, I'll shake that Stanley up. Shake it so
hard. Oh God, I'm so thirsty.
Tara carries around a water jug, AKA Stanley. She's a bee. It was given to you. You didn't buy it. So does that make you half big sick? You're like half.
What do you mean?
Half basic bitch.
Hey, that's mean. I really like this cup.
No, you don't. You stop bringing it to work. You said it's annoying as fuck.
It's annoying at work. I don't like the idea of 150 students being near my straw at all times.
And it's also annoying in the car.
It's very annoying in the car. I stopped bringing it in the car after Grindstone.
And it's also
annoying. I couldn't take it anymore.
It's also annoying in the house.
I like it in the house.
This is the first time I've seen you drink out of it in 3 weeks.
I've been using it all weekend. What are you talking about?
Oh, maybe I just... I cried the whole way home.
Anyways,
I cried the whole way home. Mile streak ended.
Yeah, that was really terrible. I felt so bad. But after that, I changed all of my training. Literally changed all of my training. I started driving to Cold Spring Harbor every weekend and running on like the one hilly trail that we have, hilly and technical trail that we have in the area. And I kid you not, there was a mile out, mile back loop. Well, out and back. So it was 2 miles total. And it got me maybe 600 feet or so. in 2 miles, which is a lot around here. And I built myself up to doing 5 of those laps. I literally was doing 5 2-mile loops by the end of my cycle. And I was doing like a workout where I would run 0.5 mile and do 100 box step ups. And I would do that 10 times.
Yeah.
So I just like went all in on elevation to try and get my legs ready.
And how much when you went up and did it, how much faster did we do it than when you did it in the race?
2 hours.
2 hours you took off. What did we do the first time we did
it? I think it was 2 hours. I think it was 5 and then I went like
I thought it was 6 and 4. I thought it was 6 and 5. You broke 3 hours? I thought it was 6 and 4. You can look.
Can I look quick?
We did a video.
I don't remember.
Brad Trains on YouTube has this video. And it has, but then like, all right, so, but when you even did that, I was hoping for the, what's next? What do you want to do next? And once again, in true Tara fashion, you were just like, I'm done.
Oh, you were right. It was 3:55.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe it was 6 hours and
4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah.
But like, all right, so that was 17:32 pace. Like that's walking. But it was 4,000 feet, 3,900.
And there was like rock scrambles, like you had to be on all fours on some spots.
Rock scrambles, running through stream beds where there's just all rocks in the bottom.
Yeah.
The scrambles down were honestly where the most traffic was.
Right.
So like that took a lot of time.
But I mean.
But anyways, yeah, like I finished that and I was like, that was cool. I'm good. I'm going to go back to street parking now.
And I was like, I just didn't know how to like get you into it.
But I don't know why you needed me to get into it so badly, but you did.
Because every
Because you just sucked me into every hobby you've ever done.
Well, yeah, like every weird
running,
thing I do.
CrossFit, beer.
Yeah.
Like every hobby that you have, I'm just like eventually sucked in. Like YouTube, I'm just such a follower.
You fought YouTube forever.
I fought YouTube for a long time.
And I just, it was just like, I wanted you to get the bug with me, so I didn't feel like it was just me doing another
Here
hobby.
Here we go, yeah. Brad with another hobby that I'm going to get sucked into, and then he's going to get sick of it, and then I'm the one still stuck liking it.
And when I broke my ankle, that was what I was mostly afraid of, because I digress and fall off the wagon quickly.
Oh, you thought that was going to be the
And
limit?
I had habits stacked so much, and I had a... What?
Right. Sorry, I just had to cough.
She made like this weird like... Brad, the fucking house is going to explode.
Cut the microphone. I don't know what to tell here.
No, you can
we
give
need like a signal or something.
No, you just, like you did, move your face away from the microphone.
Okay, anyways.
Newsflash, guys. Sometimes Tara has to cough and clear her throat. It happens.
Okay,
go on. Yeah, like I just, yeah, I needed, and you didn't. So at this time I'd signed up for that. Oh, we did Red Wing quick. So you, like you were down to do shit.
I did Breakneck. You did Shore to Shore. And then you signed up for Grindstone.
Yep.
And when you signed up for Grindstone, you're like, all right, I need something more than a 50K in between now and Grindstone. And you found Red Wing.
Right.
And luckily, Red Wing had the 15K. And I'm like, oh, sick. Like, I'll definitely do a 15K while you're doing the 60K. Like, why not? And then we put it out to a bunch of our friends. And surprisingly, we had a crowd.
Yeah.
A crowd showed up. Like, that was so much fun.
A crowd did the 15K. Nobody wanted to play with me.
A crowd did the 15K. And then I stood in the rain.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, there's a video on that one. That's the first deluge.
So
that was
the
storm that, like, washed Vermont away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was. I forgot about that. So you did the 60K. We all did that. And then Canyons opened.
Right. So I started telling you that I wanted to run Canyons.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's our spring break.
This is a classic, gigantic miscommunication.
Well,
that's about to happen. Go on.
On your part, I guess. But So I'm like, I'll sign up. Why don't we just go out there and run together? And you're like, sweet.
Run. Did everybody hear that? Run together.
Okay. So she's like, I'll do the 50K. And I'm like, sweet. Like, I'm going to get you to do a 50K.
Together.
And I'm running 50K.
Together.
I'm running 50K. So I signed up and she signed up. And we're going
to... Lo and behold, he signed up for the 100 mile.
Stop yelling into the microphone.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to create emphasis.
Okay, go ahead. What?
He signed up for the 100 mile.
Yeah.
Not the 50K that I thought we were doing together.
I don't know, like, what made you think... Let's talk about this in hindsight quick.
Oh, my God.
Okay? You've known me for a really long time.
You just said...
Hold on.
Okay.
You thought, after knowing me all this time, that I was going to run a 10-mile trail run, then I was going to run my first 50K, then I was going to run my first 60K, then I was going to run my first 100K.
And then you were going to do a nice vacation 50K with your lovely wife. Yes, that's what I thought. I was sadly mistaken, but you kept saying that we were going to do the race together. So I thought that meant we were doing the same distance, not just gallivanting around the same county.
No, we're on the same course. We're going to finish pretty much the same time.
Well, guys, Brad's going to do a 100-mile race, and I'm going to do the 50K. So that's just what happened.
Yeah, like you were just like, fuck around, find out.
Yeah, so, oh, right. Well, I guess that is kind of a big deal in itself. Like, I signed up for a 50K.
Which is more than a marathon.
Yeah.
And you said you'd never run a marathon again.
Yeah.
Okay, then...
Okay, yeah, that is the zinger there.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So now, not to mention, it's a 50K in the... Sierras in the High Sierra Mountains. I think it's the Sierras, right? Like
I don't know. It looks beautiful.
It's in Auburn, California. Right? Same exact course. Parts
of it is Western States.
Yeah. So you didn't even choose a flat one. Sorry for my dog walking around, guys. My dog's flat.
Well, Breakneck wasn't flat. So like, I feel like I'm prepared for not flat.
How much is the 50K? 7,000 feet?
The canyons?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's like 5,500.
Oh, dope.
I remember 6,000 tops.
Oh, nice.
But I'm like, if I did 4,000 for a half, like, what's an extra 2,000 feet?
So I thought I was in for a year of misery listening to Tara be upset that she signed up for a 50K. Hmm. And then what'd you go and do?
I signed up for another one.
Sign up for...
Before that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was my train of thought.
So guys, I just want to make a point before Tara gets a train of thought. This is how fast things spiral. So if you're just running around the block, Corey, if you're running around the block right now thinking I'm never going to race, this is how fast things escalate to 100-mile races, guys. So I just don't want you to think that like I'm the anomaly here. Like you guys hear me talk about it with JJ. Like, this is how fast it happens. You go from, I ran 5Ks, I hated them. I ran marathons, I hate them, and I'm never going to run them again, to running mountain ultras. Okay, what was your... So now, why you signed up for another 50K?
All right, well, my thought was, like, the Canyons 50K is a big deal. Like, it's a nice race. Like, it is not a rinky-dink 50K. So... I was like, well, I don't want to show up and embarrass myself, so let me do another 50K before that, kind of similar to the Breakneck preview race was kind of the way I was thinking. Like, let me do another 50K before that and get my feet wet, and then I can adjust my training plan leading into the April 50K. So I signed up for the Big Brad. Go figure.
No pun intended.
I can't. The Big Brad 50K in Pownal. I don't know how to say that. It's Pownal, Maine. It was like 30 minutes north of Portland, Maine, Columbus Day weekend. So that's what I did a week from today.
A week ago today.
Yeah, a week ago today.
All right. So now let's talk about that. And I raced on Saturday.
Oh, which was another spur of the moment decision. It was just so lovely.
Oh, yeah. Like we were laying in bed on Monday. And
a week before.
The week before. And like Tara was like, hey, you want to just run that Tesla Hertz?
I know your brother's doing it. And I know some of his friends that we know are doing it. My sister-in-law is doing it. Like, do you want to just do it?
And I brought it up like 100 times. You vetoed it.
I didn't even like let him finish his sentence because I was like, no, we're driving up to Maine that day. We don't have time for a race.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, we can't check in until 4. Like, that's normal check-in time. Like, what time could the race be? So we looked and it was at 9. And then we did some more research and we saw that the ferry up to Connecticut was 10 minutes from the race start. So, like, you know what? Like, do the race. We'll catch a noon ferry and head up there and still be there for 5-6 o'clock dinner and check in.
Yeah. So that's what we did.
It worked out great.
Smoked the race. Same race we did last year. I went 50 minutes faster.
Yeah. It was such a fun morning. I got to hang out with Jackson. You guys did your run.
Yep. And you didn't run because you had the 50K.
Yeah.
So, like, I finished the 50K. I finished the 10 miler. And then we got on the Portchef Ferry, got there, got to Maine. Took us a little bit longer.
Some snafus.
Tara had avoid tolls for a 350-mile trip.
Why do we keep getting off 95?
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
Neither here nor there. Yeah. We don't have time for that story.
Yeah, I don't even want people to know you made that mistake. Yeah, and then we got to this 50K site and small race, 50 people race.
Oh, for my 50K? Yeah.
45?
48 people had registered, but I don't feel like there was 48 people at the race.
There was a bit, and it rained.
And then there was another 30 people for the 50-miler, and then there were a couple of
relays.
50K relays.
Yeah.
So the race was... supposed to be 2 16-mile loops.
Right. But it was a figure eight. So, like, I saw you 10 miles, I saw you at the intersection of a figure eight. It was like 6 yes. miles, 10 miles, 6 miles, 10 miles. And you finished like there.
Yeah.
And full fall up there.
Yeah, like, it was really pretty.
It's getting cool here, but it was like cold. It was rainy. All the leaves are pretty much down up there.
Yeah, but the leaves on the trail, the leaves on the trail were really pretty because they were just like a whole bunch of colors.
And same as Breakneck, you're like, Brad, I'm going to be out there for like 8 hours, 7 hours. And I'm like, the fuck you are. And then once again, we look at like the standings and we're like, it's taking people 7-8 hours. And I'm like, how technical? I'm like, Tara, I'm like, show me the website, like something. She's like, I'm looking at the pictures. It doesn't look that technical. I know there wasn't a lot. I think this one had 4,000 feet as well.
Yeah.
So same as the half marathon that you did. So that wasn't a big deal. And you'd been training in the hills. I'm like, Tara, there's no way. Because I went 7 hours in shore to shore with like coming off that sprained broken ankle. I'm like, there's no way you're going to go slower than that. Like I waddled that. And the muddy condition, I think you could admit now that if it wasn't muddy and like, because it rained. If it was, how much
it would have been a completely different course if it was dry.
Yeah.
It was so muddy. I was dodging, not even dodging, like the entire trail was ankle deep water in some of the single track sections. So you kind of had to go off and around the trail if you didn't want to walk through ankle deep water, which you don't want to trudge through ankle deep water for 30 miles.
Yeah.
Which is what I ended up doing for probably 15 miles because in some places it was just completely unavoidable.
Right. But you finished.
Of course I did. I wasn't going to not finish.
I think you were fourth female.
I was.
8 hours or a little less?
8 hours and 18 minutes for 35
miles.
35.18 miles. It was very long.
We should tell people that. Guys, if you do a trail run,
it's never going to be the exact Ks that it says because they just cannot get that distance the way you can on a road race. Yeah. So it's always going to be over, which I had resigned myself to.
You knew
the website said that it was 2 16-mile loops, and I was like, cool. Fine, 32 miles, it's a little more than a 50K, I will survive. And then the week of the race, they sent out an email and told you at what mile markers you were going to pass each of the aid stations. And the first aid station they had at 6.4 miles, but they had said that it was a 6-mile loop and a 10-mile loop. So I was like, all right, well, 6.4 is not quite 6, so that's going to be another 0.8, so now call it 33 miles. Fine. Like, I've been running so much, 33 will be fine. I'm not finished. So then I go to run the first 6-mile loop and I come back and look at my watch and I had 6.8 miles. So now that's a mile and a half over 32. So now we're at 33 and a half at a minimum. And now I am worried. And then I go to start the 10-mile loop and get lost and end up back at the start line.
That's in the video too. It's hilarious.
Oh my goodness. I didn't really get lost. I just missed a turn and kept following a path, and that path led me back to the start.
And I think
so then I had to start the 10-mile loop over again.
And I think you were not happy.
I was pissed.
I think you were like cursing. You kind of like did that playful, like, I'll just go fuck myself or something like that. Like you
so
said something
mad.
Like that. And like people looked like, did she just drop F-bombs? I was like, oh, I don't think there's F-bombs allowed in trail running. Or maybe in Maine. No, there's definitely F-bombs on in Maine. But yeah, you were like, great fucking news or something like that.
I was so mad. I was just mad because like I was feeling good. I like wanted to start the second loop, but I had to start it all over again. So like I just wasted all my time. I was just mad. But then, okay, so I go off on that loop and I was trying not to look at my watch because I didn't really want to know how much extra that had thrown me off. Like I just didn't even want to know. But then I finished that loop. I liked that loop a lot better than the first 6-mile loop. So that was great news. I saw Brad again and I went to start the 6-mile loop. And as I was starting that 6-mile loop, my watch beeped for another mile marker and I made the mistake of looking and it said 18 miles. So the math teacher and me multiplied that by two real quick and got 36 and started panicking. I was panicking. 36 miles, that is not what I signed up for. That is close to 40. I might as well have done the 50 miler with everyone else. That's the snowball that happened in my brain.
Which I did tell you, you should have just done the 50.
And then what did I do?
You went there a long time.
I cried.
Yeah, you cried.
I cried a lot. I was just running and crying.
Well, you do that in trail. Everyone does that. You're going to do that in trail running too. You just run and cry.
36 miles.
But
it ended up only being 35.2, but you know.
Yeah, crushed it. Fourth female. Crushed it. With a lot of people DNFing and a lot of people not showing up, crushed it.
Yeah, the weather was not great.
So I was expecting did that. I didn't want to do canyons like same as the New York City Marathon. So how, I think this is, I don't, maybe I'll make the title of the episode like something in here, but like we talked about like the quick progression. Explain to people that hear me talk and maybe whatever, the difference between finishing a marathon on the road and finishing this marathon plus 10 miles in like trail. Like why wasn't this never, why didn't you say never going to do this again?
This was, I'm not going to say this part yet, but this was just very, very different than a road marathon for a lot of reasons. The road marathon was amazing. It was New York City. Like it was a great race. The crowd is wild. There are so many people cheering you on. I was never bored during New York City, but everything hurt. Like my legs and my bones, it was really my bones just hurt. Like everything hurts from the constant repetitive movement. And it's just not like that in the trail. Like your gait is constantly changing because you're jumping over a rock or a root or a stream, or you're looking at something, or you're going uphill, you're going downhill. Your gait is just always changing. So it's not so repetitive, which makes it way more engaging, which makes it way less on your body. And I think because you're so focused on where you're putting your feet, you don't have time to like get lost in your own mind and get bored, but it ends up being a really like spiritual journey. Like I was trying to explain this to Brad on the drive home. I was like, it was just an emotional journey as much as it was a physical journey. And I didn't feel that way after the New York City Marathon. It just sounds so crazy to say, but like, that's just how it felt. Like it was just as much an emotional journey as it was a physical journey. And that's why I loved it so much more than New York City Marathon. It was so much fun.
And you kept saying like, I don't know, Brad, it's hard to explain. And I'm like, yes, yes. Like I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's so.
Can I tell the story I told you about the power line?
Yeah, but hold on. But you were like, what was I just going to say?
The emotional part.
No, just
hard to explain. Sorry, trying to help you out.
Trying to get them all back. No, but it is. It's hard to explain to people that ask you why, and I get asked like why, like even Caitlin last night, why, and you have your like cliche answers, but like the real answers to the question of why do it again, like why try and go further, why try and up the distance is an experience that really, it's so cliche, but it just, it's hard to explain.
It really is more of an emotional journey than it is a physical journey. And I just cannot like emphasize that enough. It was just the last thing I was expecting going into the race. Like you can see in the video, I was so nervous before, and I was nervous beforehand because I just thought that I was going to be in physical agony from 20 miles on. And I was just mentally prepared for that. And I was like, whatever, like I can handle my legs hurting for a couple hours. Like I'll live. But that just, it wasn't what it was like. Like, yeah, my legs hurt, but just all of the feelings you have the whole time was like what made it. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
It was really bizarre. Like, I just don't really know how to explain it.
And I've heard like all the, like the extremes or like, you know, it's every human emotion in 24 hours or like, it's for me very humbling and things like that. But yeah, it just, it's hard really to explain like the draw, and it's something that you could hear so many people talk about until like you do it, you know? And once you experience it and you're like,
if you get brave enough to do it, because working up the courage to say that you're going to sign up for that was really the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah. And like how like terror, and also experiencing that is too, like what people have seen in reels. When I said before Grindstone, like it didn't matter if I finished the race or not, because the journey, the emotional part leading up has been so awesome. And like, I've already had like dark moments and good moments. And like, I knew a lot of those things, like I've experienced them, and I knew that I was going to find a few more in Grindstone, but I knew that even if I didn't finish, I would still find them. So like, there was no pressure to really like, there was really no pressure except for like getting, like you said, to the start line, but signing up, I didn't feel ready for Grindstone until like maybe 3 weeks before.
It took me forever to sign up for that 50K. And you saw me like the whole 2 weeks leading up to it, I was in panic mode thinking that I didn't do enough.
Yeah. So I guess like I wanted people to know that like I've hated running, and we've both have had disdain for like road running. And like, I'm excited. I'm running the New York City Marathon in 3 weeks, but I've been having a lot of issues, and talking to Tara about this is like, I don't want to say I'm not excited or grateful that I get to do it, but it's not giving me the, like the dopamine hit that I've been getting from ultras. Like I ran today and I'm picking up the pace, trying to go run hard again. Cause you run hard in marathons, cause everyone wants to know what your fucking time is. But in ultras, everyone's just like, wait, what was the distance? They don't even care, because you're going to give them a time that they can't calculate in their brain if it's a good time or a bad time. Anyway, like you tell somebody you're around 100 miles, they're like, how long did that take? And you say 20 hours, they're going to be like, you tell them 30 hours, they're going to make the same noise. It's just really, really far. But of course the marathon, everyone's going to want to know. And yeah, like my body's beat up more. You know, it's just, I can't wait to get back into the trails for canyons.
It's so fun.
And we're going to start training for canyons in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to do some strength for a bit first.
Yeah. Are we in the off season?
I guess.
Yeah.
How long do I have to train for canyons for, you think? 4 months?
4 or 5 months, yeah.
January, February, March, April. Yeah, I'll probably do like a month or two, like mostly strength based and just a little bit of running, because I've been running with a bunch of girls from the old CrossFit gym that we had, which has been like literally the most amazing thing. They have been my training buddies, like pushed me through so many long runs, have done everything with me. And I was saying to them like kind of recently before the race, like, I can't wait to start squatting again after this training cycle. Like, I need a little bit of break. I feel like I'm withering away. And one of the girls was like, yeah, you usually have like pretty defined quads and it's just not the same anymore. Like, it's like a stab to my heart. I'm like, oh no, my quads are disappearing before my eyes. So I'm excited to put a little bit of muscle back on before this training cycle starts.
So it's been 1 week since that. And you feel good?
It's bizarre. Like physically, I feel pretty good, but I tried to run on Friday and all the whole run, I was just like, this was a terrible decision. My knees hurt, my calves hurt, like things that don't normally hurt just hurt. So I knew that I started it too soon. And then I looked at my Garmin, which I hadn't looked at all week, and I was unbalanced. I've never been in the red before for my HRV. I was unbalanced in the red, and my training status said strained. And I've never seen that either. I've only ever been in recovery, maintaining, or productive. So the fact that I've been strained for like 3 days, like, oh no.
And for everyone that has no idea what the fuck she just said, our watches like give us like sleep data, and those are some metrics, and usually
Garmin. Basically, my watch yelled at me that I wasn't ready to run again.
Yes. And usually Garmin's right.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a little bit more time off.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Maybe this week I'll try to ease back in.
All right. What should somebody that's running 7 miles a week, what should they think about?
7 miles a week?
Yeah. They're just running casually 7 miles per week.
Just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Consistency is all that matters.
All right. And I also want to put on a couple other things on the record. Will you run a 50 miler?
Ever in my life?
Yeah.
You did it again. I told Brad before the 50K that I would never run a 50 miler, and now he asks me that and I hesitate. And before the 50K, it was an immediate no. So maybe.
No, maybe is allowed. Yes or no?
It's a maybe. I have to think about it more. I'm not ready to say yes or no.
Will you ever?
It's not a hard no. So that's a step in. You know,
will you ever do 100K?
60 miles?
62.
Maybe.
Will you?
I don't know. I don't think so. That sounds like a lot.
So if Carrie Lance goes for 100K, you're not going to train with her?
I'll train with her. And I'll pace her too.
You don't get pacers in 100Ks.
Some of them you do.
No.
Oh.
So no on the 100K. 100K is the limit?
I didn't say no.
All right, 100 miler.
The 100 miles, no.
You'll never run 100 miler.
No. No. 100 miles? So far.
Okay, I just want to know.
He's looking at me like he doesn't believe me. And this is what he does. He tricks me into things.
I'm not tricking you. I give you perspective because I'm older and wiser than you.
Definitely older.
So 100 miler is the limit.
That's out of the limit. I think we just established.
So 99.9 is the limit.
No, I think 100K might be the limit.
100K.
You might, I don't know. After watching you do that 100K, I don't know if that's ever something I want to do. Like after I watched you do that Tough Mudder with Danny a bunch of years ago when I went with your dad, I was like, I'm never doing a Tough Mudder because it looked so miserable and I have never done one.
Right.
And I don't plan on ever doing one.
No, they suck, yeah.
And that might be how I feel about the 100K. You really scared me. But Stacy was really nice.
Oh, gosh. We've talked about Stacy on here.
You have?
Saved my life.
Yeah, I liked her.
Maybe, probably, literally.
Literally.
She never got back to me on the DMs.
Well, it doesn't look like she's really on Instagram very much. So.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, she did. She's done like 10.
So maybe to a 50 miler. A more no than yes, maybe, for 100K. And a no for 100 mile.
I think Carrie Lance could bully you into any distance.
Why just Carrie?
Because
we're the same person.
Yeah, because she's like your little mentor.
I feel like her and I are really similar.
And she's more daring than you.
She hasn't run anything more than a 50K yet either, so.
Carrie Lance.
Sign up for a 50 miler. Guess I'm signing up too.
Yeah. It's safe for her to say, like, if she signs up for a race and asks you to sign up with her, you're going to sign up with her. I don't think there's a race out there that she would sign up for that she wouldn't be like, you want to do it? And you were like, I'm down.
She might do that Run Rabbit Run one in Colorado next September. That's a 50 miler, I think.
But Kerry Landry also very good at talking about races and not signing up.
Ooh, burn.
Put your name on paper. Press submit. She's got daughters who play for college sports and shit. She's got to be there, but.
I've always said for years, and I've told this to her face, I want to be Kerry Lance when I grow up.
Me too. Me too. All right. Not bad.
That's it?
I don't know. What else you got? We bought a Breville.
That was a quick one. We bought a lot of things this week. It was a big week for the Vins.
Well, we'll do this. If you guys can tell me in the comments, let me know in Discord and let me know in the DMs or on Instagram. If JJ can't make it, do you want to hear about Tara and I talk about our Breville and our kids and the book that Avery got sent home from the library that made me almost freak out at a board meeting? Like, you let me know.
And what we actually decided to spend money on finally. Oh, yeah. We never spend more than like $100 at a time on anything. And we just made two purchases over $500 in the same week. It's so out of character for us.
Yeah.
I've been like losing sleep over it because we literally haven't spent that money in... Probably since you bought your stupid Tacoma.
No, your truck is not stupid. It's far from stupid.
It was a stupid decision at the time, but it's not a stupid truck.
Oh, God, it was so dumb. Can't believe we bought that truck.
Me neither.